Welcome back here to X's and Bros. Hour number two here on this thirsty Thursday. Ryan Elke and Danica Halen in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, company from the Radio Bunker. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us here on the program. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Call us on the Auto Valley guest line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. On Twitter, the show at XB Mornings. Individually, I'm at AC Bellino. Dan is at Dan in the studio. Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key. You can find us on Facebook at X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. If you miss any portion of the show, you can visit MichiganSportsNetwork.com or find the podcast on SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and, of course, the iHeartRadio app. Pleasure to have you riding along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9. AJ Ochter will join us coming up in, about 32 minutes from right now to recap Major League Baseball's postseason and, of course, the World Series and my real, real dislike for the pulling of Blake Snell in that ballgame. Still can't get over the fact that that happened with your backs on the line, with everything, like, there is no tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, what are you doing? 5 1/3, guy is on absolute fire, and you give him the hook because why? And I love that they, you know, Super 70 Sports put this out on Twitter yesterday, that in 1991, Jack Morris did a man's job and fires a GD 10-inning shutout in Game 7 of the World Series. I don't know where that guy went. Not Jack Morris. I don't know where that guy who was able to throw more than 5 innings, was able to see guys more than twice in a lineup. Like, what happened to that guy? Now we got starters, we got closers, we got relievers, we have openers. Whatever, the guy could just go out there and give you a full game. You know, we talk about, like, complete games now are so rare. It's like, oh, hey, this guy threw a complete game shutout. That's like,
well,
feels,
a lot
feels
of it
as rare as a no hitter.
A lot of it really is the feast or famine way baseball has gone. You know, if, you know, when Jack was pitching, I feel like I can call him Jack. You know, we're on a first name basis. Yeah,
you guys are homies. You know,
yeah, and we work together. Yeah. We work together. We don't hang out. I've never.
I call
hung
him
out with
Dr. Morris, but yeah, you call him Jack.
But back in those days, you know, your team was expected to score runs. You know, it's not like you weren't going to get a 1-0 game. You know, games would end 7-6 a lot in the playoffs. So the feast or famine, you know, either home run or strikeout game that they're playing now tells you, okay, 1-0, this might be the only run that gets scored in this game. So we can't squander this 1-run lead in the fifth because it might be the only run scored.
You got Jack's cell phone number?
Maybe.
We're going to have to talk to him. Maybe we can talk to him on Monday or Wednesday or something next week. I got to get this.
I will get that set up for sure.
I mean, you know, a 10-inning shutout, complete game. Like, come on, that's doing a man's job. I love the way Super 70 Sports had tweeted that too. A man's doing a man's job out there. 73 pitches and get pulled. Unbelievable. The counter argument to it, of course, is what if he would have left Blake Snell in? Snell sees Mookie. Mookie doubles, run scored, rally starts, and then it's like, well, why didn't you pull him out? You've been pulling guys out all year, blah, 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 blah. He hasn't thrown more than X amount of pitches in a game all season. What are you doing? I'm willing to take that risk. When my guy's dealing, I'm just checking in on him. How you feeling? You want to keep going? Like, are you okay? As long as you're good, I'm going to leave you in there because it's game 6, and if we lose, the series is over. So, still upset about that. We'll talk to AJ. I'll get his thoughts about it as well. The former MLBer and Michigan State alum, current EMU pitching coach. We'll get his postseason thoughts on MLB and, of course, the World Series as well. Lots to get to here in hour number two, including the Big Ten in big trouble with what's going on with Wisconsin. We'll get into that and much more. But first, let's get you all caught up with all the happenings across the world of sports. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, so Justin Turner violated coronavirus protocols when he celebrated on the field with the Dodgers and his teammates. He refused instructions from security to leave the field. Behavior that MLB said risked the safety of others. Commissioner's office said Wednesday that it was starting a full investigation of the 35-year-old third baseman. Turner was pulled from the game following the seventh inning after MLB was notified that he had tested positive for COVID-19. He was then quarantined in a doctor's office. Turner later returned to the field wearing a mask to celebrate the title. He was already on the field. He's already out there. What are we making a big deal about? You're going to pull somebody out in the middle of the game. Come on. Oh, the test conveniently came in and the guy's out there like, I understand. It's very serious. We got to remain serious. We don't know.
I don't put as much, like, everyone wants to go at Justin Turner, but it's like, why was MLB letting a guy go out and play with an inconclusive test? I think that's the bigger, should be the bigger takeaway from it. Is like
1,000%.
Like, why are you letting that guy go out there? It's like, yeah, you have inconclusive results. Go play. We'll get the results some point.
In a couple hours.
Right. No, we'll get it the next day, hopefully before game time. No, maybe the third inning then. It's ridiculous. Like, he shouldn't have been playing that game then if he had an inconclusive test and be like, hey, if it comes back negative, whatever time that happens, then you can be available. But until then, you are unavailable.
You are 100% correct on that. That's exactly how it should have went. And if MLB wants to investigate and try to suspend him, I'm going to counter that immediately if I'm Justin Turner. You're not suspending me. I'm not losing a check because you people can't do your jobs. Period. Like, I can play seven innings, but I can't go out there and celebrate. Like, come on. Get over it. Three Miami, Ohio players were suspended. They got in a frat party fight, if you're interested in a little maction. One of those kids, Dimitri Mitsopoulos, is actually a Toledoan. He was charged with 2 counts of assault, 2 counts of trespassing, 2 counts of disorderly conduct. It is sports-related. It is news. No one's trying to trash anybody. It's just the fact that these idiots went out there and tried to start a fight. You're on the football team. You shouldn't be partying anyways, unless you kind of know the writing's on the walls from a playing time standpoint. But your season's right around the corner, and you're going to throw that down the tube for what? For what? I had a tough lesson to learn as a young person, but you got to be smarter than that, especially in the cell phone age. Like, come on. Quarterback Quinn Ewers, he's the number one 2020 recruiting class target. He decommitted from the Texas Longhorns. He's got offers from Alabama and Ohio State as well. The NFL is planning to hold fan capacity to 20% for the Super Bowl with masks being mandatory. I'm okay with all that. Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys release of Dontari Poe was due to weight and performance. Will he find his way back to KC? The Cincinnati Bengals traded Carlos Dunlap to the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks need some help defensively. You can't score 34 points and lose in the NFL. You just can't do it. Russell Wilson's been asked to do everything all season long. They got to get that defense back to what it was in years past. NBA revenue from 2019 to 2020 dropped 10% to just $8.3 billion. I think they'll be okay. That's a pretty good fiscal year. Even though you lost 10%. Like, come on. Hey, you're fine. You are absolutely fine there. Steven Silas is going to be the new head coach of the Houston Rockets. He's the son of Paul Silas. So congratulations to him coming out of the Mavs organization. Sources say the Philadelphia 76ers are set to hire Daryl Morey to run their basketball operation. So we will get back in basketball. He's just done in Houston. So I was wondering if they were going to allow him back in after the China comments and Hong Kong and everything, or if he was just going to kind of get blackballed and just run off into the darkness. And the Gavitt games have been canceled. That's right. The Gavitt games between the Big East and the Big Ten, they've been canceled. They were looking at some sort of bubble type of setup, but it's just not going to work. We still have yet to see a Big Ten basketball schedule. 10 minutes after the hour, just getting started. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more to come here of X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more.
This month, True Fuel Premixed Oil is just $5.99. Perfect Stop Dot 4 Brake Fluid for just $3.49. And if it's time for new shocks and struts, then it's time for Monroe. Shop online at myautovaluestore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code FALL15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Delightfully devilish deals are just around the corner when you shop at Meijer. Buy 5 and save $5 instantly when you mix or match Halloween favorites.
favorites, like Hershey's snack-sized bagged candy, just $2.79 each. Lay's potato chips, just $1.99. Plus, save 40% on Halloween costumes. And enjoy free Meijer pickup on orders of $50 or more. Visit Meijer.com to get started. Don't wait. Enjoy the spooky savings while they last at your local Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Huge here for my friends at DraftKings. Now, there's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, do it. Download the DraftKings daily fantasy app and remember that promo code HUGE for your shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Like I said, for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the action. Enter code HUGE to get that free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code HUGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Download that DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and remember promo code HUGE.
This is what we talk about during breaks, by the way. A group thinks it has found proof of a 10,000-year-old Ice Age culture in the Straits of Mackinac. That's where we're at right now.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Free press.
Look it up. My buddy, Aaron, he came over a couple weeks ago, and he was telling us like that civilization, humans have been around for a lot longer than we believe. Like, actual civilization. Not like humans in the, you know, the pure form, but like civilizations have been around a lot longer than we think.
That's pretty wild.
And in 99 of those 100 civilizations, Blake Snell was left in game 6 of the World Series.
And they'd go on to play in game 7.
Yeah. And so we would have had something to watch yesterday.
Oh, dang.
There you go. Wisconsin's football team has paused all their team-related activities for at least 7 days because of an increased number of COVID-19 cases causing the number 9 Badgers game against Nebraska to be canceled. Now, we knew this going in that there's probably their positive tests are going to pop up. It's going to be an issue. And the Big Ten's ruling is that there won't be reschedulings. There will just be what is going to be called a no contest. So as of yesterday morning, 12 people within the program have tested positive for the coronavirus in the last 5 days. That total includes 6 student athletes and 6 different staff members, including head coach Paul Christ. This morning I received news that I tested positive via a PCR test I took yesterday. I informed my staff and the team this morning. I'm currently isolating at home. I have not been experiencing any symptoms and feel good. As of this morning, I'm disappointed for our players and our coaching staff who put so much into preparing to play each week. Safety of everyone in the program, you know, top priority, support the decision made to pause our team activity, blah, blah, blah. Even though Wisconsin didn't reach the Big Ten's red color-coded conundrum, there's still, you know, the positivity rates automatically triggers a 7-day pause in the team activities. Big Ten protocol states that the team, if they reach the orange-red level area of testing, may consider viably of continuing with scheduled competitions. Whatever the hell that means. Wisconsin is scheduled to host Purdue on November 7th. So their game against Nebraska is out. Nebraska was actually tweeting about this. If the roles were reversed, do you think we'd still be able to play? I didn't see what the big rage about that on social media was, but you know how Twitter, everybody's mad on the internet. So Nebraska's canceled. It's a no contest. They get Purdue on the 7th, and then they travel to the Big House on the 14th. This is where the Big Ten waiting has a big problem, and that's the fact that there is no one that can help you make up any time here because your backs are already against the wall. You decided to have an 8-game season with championship week for the 9th game. And within that, you did not build in any buffer zone in the event of an emergency, in the event of a cancellation, in the event of a postponement. Notre Dame, Wake Forest, they got postponed like in what, week 2, week 3 of the season? They're going to play in the Mayonnaise Bowl, the Duke's Mayo Bowl coming up on December 12th. Because the earlier you start, the more flexibility you have. Plain and simple. The Big Ten waited, and now they're rolling the dice. They have one issue right now that we know of. It's Thursday. Who knows what happens over the next 48 hours? Can you imagine if this, now for Wisconsin, top 10 team in the country, don't think that that's necessarily deserved, but that's me. You know, what do I know? I don't see how you could be 1-0 and not have a, you're 1-0, you beat Illinois 45-7, and the rest of the country's looking at you like, that's a top 10 team right there. Like, we don't know yet. That's fine. Is Michigan a top 20 team? Probably. Do we know that much about them? No, they played one game. Everybody pump your brakes. But what if this happens to Ohio State? What if it happens to Michigan? Two teams with hopes, right? And I don't know if Michigan's hopes are legitimate or not. Well, I know Ohio State's are. I know that they have staff members sleeping in the facility down there because they're afraid to go home. They don't want to get it from their kids. So they got certain guys that are like, yeah, I'm just going to sleep here and suck it up for a few months. Like, whatever it takes, man, whatever you got to do. Like, and that's what I never understood with Mike Clevenger in that Cleveland story. Like, dude, you got to behave. You got to be a grown-up. You got to be an adult. You got to be a professional.
Dog, but 70 days. It was 60 games in 70 days. You had to go out to the bar, really?
Not that long. And you couldn't behave. You couldn't do it. For whatever reason, you just couldn't figure it out.
They didn't say you couldn't drink. You just can't drink out in public. Go do it. Just go have a beer in your hotel room.
Get on Bumble. Get your swipes in. Do what you got to do. Handle your business. But do it in the hotel. Just don't go out. That's all I said. You couldn't handle it. The Ohio State staffers are some of them are so nervous that I got word that they got people actually sleeping in the facility because they're afraid to go home because what if they catch it from their kids? First thing came to my mind is, yeah, you got to, like, are you going to let your kids trick or treat, Ryan? Have you guys had that? I mean, this has got to be just, how old are your kids? You got to be just in disaster DEFCON 2 mode right now.
Yeah, my oldest will be 7 in a month. My youngest is 3. So we're probably going to do trick-or-treating, but we don't know what that'll look like, to be honest, because we don't know what each house is doing, like, because no one's really even talked about it. Is just going to throw candy at kids? Because I'll hand out candy if that's the way it's going to happen.
Pelt
some kids with some Necco wafers?
Well, and I guess my question is, like, are you going to have gloves on when you pass the candy out, or are you just, what exactly are you going to do here?
I mean, it is Michigan, so most people just have gloves on already because of weather.
Yeah, you're right. All right, trick-or-treating it is. But Wisconsin, the Big Ten, like, this is a big problem because they did not give themselves any room for error. And here we go. It's our first program paused. It won't be the last. Freddie's on hold. Freddie, we got to make it quick, my man. What's going on? Happy Thursday to you.
Happy what? What'd you say? Happy which day?
Today's Thursday.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. My apologies.
That's all good. Happy Thursday.
Formerly Jersey.
Formerly Wednesday.
I'm dressing up as you for Halloween, Anthony.
You are?
I want all the girls attacking me when I'm walking down the street, so I'm going to dress up as you.
Careful what you wish for, Freddie. It's a lot of work, Freddie.
Come on, man. I'll give you a run for your money, big dog.
It's tiresome, Freddie. I can't keep up.
Actually, I'm going to dress up as Rory. But anyways, I don't think the Big Ten cares about Michigan. That they might go to the Holiday Bowl or something. It's Ohio State's what they really care about, because they can actually make it to the Big Four. So yeah, something were to happen to Justin Fields or Josh Fields, excuse me, forgive me his first name, but something were to happen to him, I'd like to see, they might shut the Big Ten down. Don't you think?
No, I think that they would just, they'd shut Ohio State down, and then it's on the committee. A nice shot there in Michigan, by the way. Holiday Bowl, come on now. 1-0, baby. We got the road victory against a top 25 program. What's interesting is you beat Minnesota, who's ranked top 25 on the road, and all of a sudden it's like they're not any good anymore. But if you lose that game, it's like, Harbaugh can't beat a good team on the road. And it's like, are they good or are they not good? I can't figure it out. When the goalpost is constantly moving, I can't make a field goal. I'm much like Jake Moody, who also can't make a field goal. But you know, I don't – yeah.
No, you're 100% right. This year you are 100% right. If they would have lost the game, it wouldn't have been fair to critique Harbaugh because there's no fans in the seats. But let's just say Minnesota was packed with fans, with 50,000, 60,000 fans. Would Joe Milton have, you know, maybe crapped his pants after Minnesota drive or something like that? You never know. You know,
I know he didn't do it with that defensive lineman or whatever that guy is that like squats 600 pounds. That guy didn't seem to bother him. So I wouldn't worry about some fans and some drunk guy in, you know, section 35, row 80, you know, screaming profanities at him. I wouldn't be worried about that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, Minnesota did have a lot of players out. So again, it's not really a real year. So the
win doesn't count. That's basically what you're telling me. They don't have a lot of players. They got guys that are down. You know, they got no fans. So if you win, it doesn't matter. But if you lose, then it's all hands on deck. Fire everybody.
Well, no, I say it this way: the win doesn't count, but the loss doesn't count either. I don't think these guys should be critiqued this year. Even Jim Harbaugh shouldn't be critiqued. Because it's been, you know, it's a tough year for everybody. You know, it just shouldn't happen. I mean, these guys weren't practicing. They couldn't be together. I mean, and then you can't tell me these players. And I don't know why it hasn't been talked about, but you can't tell me like some of these players aren't scared to tackle somebody or block somebody because they're scared to get, you know, somebody sweating on them, and then they take that home to their family. So some of them are probably being cautious. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. I don't think the players are nervous. They've been talking about that we want to play for how long. We'll be back. AJ Achter is going to join us. Recap the World Series and MLB's postseason next.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. They're in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR and a short drive for most of you listening right now on the Huge Show across Michigan. Fabulous place to get away, and there still will be some good days of golf left. Book a tee time right now at TullymoreGolf.com, a stay-and-play package in the fall if you just want to get away. The restaurants are open, and if you want to look at some real estate, maybe looking ahead to 2021, a weekend home, or if you want to live on the grounds at Tullymore, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. And if you want to look ahead for a wedding, a reception, an outing, a corporate event, or anything in 2021, now is the time to book it. While dates are there, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com. The Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
As a healthcare professional, you care for your patients. But who will care for your practice? Who will keep it healthy? And who do you refer to if it takes a turn for the worse? Just as you may consult with another healthcare specialist, so too should you seek out tax and accounting specialists to consult with regarding specific issues your practice may face. That's where we come in. We're Bean Gardner. And while your business is keeping people physically healthy, our business is helping you keep your practice financially healthy. We'll provide you with the innovative business solutions your practice needs without compromising your patient focus. Whether you're a doctor or dentist, a sole practitioner, or a multi-physician practice, before you see patients, come see us first. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Gardner. Find us online, beangardner.com. Bean Gardner.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke at our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker and joining us on the horn right now, former major leaguer, a Michigan State alum, a lot of Sparty on this program today, and Eastern Michigan University pitching coach, our good buddy A.J. Ochter is back on the show. The studio audience, they love him. A.J., my friend, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time. How are you? Everybody safe? Everybody healthy on your end?
Yeah, doing well, A.B. You know, it's obviously a unique time of year where, you know, when I'm talking to you, this is the fourth or fifth year in a row we've done this, and I mean, baseball's over, which is a sad time, but an exciting time to talk about. Obviously, the series and kind of the whole postseason that just happened.
Yeah, you know, what did you make of the postseason? Because it felt like it kind of went off without like a major hitch. Now, there have been some complaints as of yesterday with Turner allegedly disregarding the Justin Turner disregarding the coronavirus protocols. I can't really say allegedly because he did. So that was a little bit of an issue. But outside of that, the playoffs went on without a hitch. They even let fans in the stands to watch those games. And I thought that the neutral sites, I thought it all sounded good. The presentation on television was good. Joe Buck was great. You know, I just, all in all, I thought it was a really good performance by Major League Baseball following up with what the NHL had done with the Stanley Cup Finals, what the NBA did with the NBA Finals. I thought that, hey, 2020 is a strange year, but we're getting it done. We're crowning champions, and I don't have any problems with it.
No, I thought that, you know, Major League Baseball's execution of their, you know, their version of the bubble, obviously, like you talked about, you know, from the Monday night or Tuesday night hiccup they kind of had. But, you know, I thought it went well. I thought that one of the good things was, you know, the championship series both going 7 games, I thought really kind of led some intrigue into the World Series. And, you know, I thought these are two teams that delivered, you know, kind of two sides of the radar, you know, the high payroll Dodgers with the kind of underdog Rays, but obviously both number one seeds, which obviously is pretty unique for playoff baseball. But I thought it was excellent baseball. I think I saw game three was one of the lowest rated, you know, games in World Series history. But, you know, I've seen you guys have talked about it on the show and posted about it. You know, everything's kind of down right now. But I think for a pure baseball fan, I thought it was some really good baseball and some fun stuff to kind of analyze. And, you know, me as a pitching coach, just about every day talking with my guys, you know, different decisions that the pitchers made. And obviously pitching was kind of a highlight both ways on this World Series. So I thought it was a great series overall.
Yeah, I don't buy into those ratings. I, you know, cable TV, the way that sports are being consumed now. I mean, how many of your guys are and maybe it's different because you're with college kids and this is what they live and breathe. So if I ask this to a college hockey guy or a college basketball player or a college football player, they're probably watching every single play of the championship. But when you think about kids that are their age that are interested in the sport, they're consuming a lot of it through social media or through streams or through God knows what. Like, it's just, you know, the times are different. So when they talk about lowest rated this, lowest humbug, people are watching it. People are talking about it. Come on, we waited how many months for sports? How are you not going to watch the damn thing? Right? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, kind of like you said, I think the social media buzz is kind of a great tell by it. You know, I think, you know, last night just seeing obviously the decision that the Rays made was kind of blew up on social media. So that just to me tells me that the following and, you know, people paying attention to it was a lot more than any rating could say.
Let's talk about it, because I'm not going to lie, AJ, I might be in the wrong. I've been wrong before. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen from time to time. I thought the decision to pull Blake Snell when he was literally, like, I mean, the guy's been on top of his game. He's been lights out, 5 1/3 scoreless in game number 6 of the World Series on Tuesday. There is no tomorrow. Like, if you lose, you're done. And the response that we get from Tampa Bay manager Kevin Cash is that, hey, you know, we didn't want him to see Mookie for, you know, a Mookie to see him for a third time. And it's kind of been their MO. They're going to go, you're going to get through everybody as long as you can through seeing everybody twice. And then we're going to pull you and let our bullpen do the job. That seemed to me like one of those times, like, hey, it might have worked up until here, but this is like the best arm you got. He's wheeling and dealing right now. Why would you pull him? What did you make when that happened? What was going on in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, anyone that's followed the Rays over the last couple of years and, you know, particularly this year, you know, I doubt there's many people that watched every game the Rays played. And shoot, I'll be honest, I probably watched maybe one or two regular season games that they were in, but this is kind of what they do. You know, it's kind of their MO. You know, they trusted those bullpen guys, and obviously it's a catch 22. You know, obviously everyone looks back on it, second guesses, but, you know, Snell was dealing, I think 5 2/3 was the most he's gone, you know, all year. He's averaging like 80 pitches an outing. So it's kind of right on par for what they've done all year. And obviously, Snell's post game comments were, you know, it was really big of him, kind of what he did, kind of just talking about, you know, you guys criticize him now, but you know, you're not kind of praising him for the decisions that he made to get them there. So obviously the World Series, everything's magnified. I don't agree with it. I think that there needs to be a little bit more human element into it. You know, if you look at the past couple of years, last year in particular, you know, the Nationals, kind of the old school way of thinking, defeat the Astros, who are obviously more analytic based in this World Series. Two teams that are very analytic based, but you could see how last night, especially, you know, Roberts used a little bit more of the, you know, the human eye and the human element of, you know, sticking with Urias when he has Kenley Jansen in the pen too, when the numbers may say go to Jansen, but, you know, obviously it's a decision that backfired on them, but it's hard when a guy's cruising like that to kind of take him out of the game. And, you know, Snell's still a younger guy, you know, in terms of age. You know, I think back to the, you know, the Mike Mussina clip, I think it was in the World Series when Torrey was getting ready to come take him out, and he's yelling expletives at him back in the dugout. I don't think you'd see Snell do that because he's a pretty good dude. But, you know, kind of a unique situation for sure. And it's not something that I agree with, but I can understand why they did it. You know, it's what got them there. So, you know, kind of like a basketball terminology, live by three, die by the three, live by the analytics, die by the analytics.
Oh, they died. And then, you know, the question would be, okay, so what if you did leave him in into the sixth or the seventh and he got rocked a little bit? What if Mookie Betts doubles and a runner scores and it's like, well, you shouldn't have left him in because, you know, you hadn't done that all season. Why would you do it now? And so I get it's a double-edged sword, but as Ryan in the studio pointed out yesterday, sometimes you got to take the computers and just throw them out the window. You know, somehow, some way, he factored in Terminator to this, and he said, that's why we'll never get overrun by AI because they don't have a feel for the game. And I said, well, I didn't expect a Schwarzenegger reference during this program this morning, but that's neither here nor there. Because we've talked about it, AJ, the use of stats, the use of data, whether we're going to call it analytics or not, especially even at your level, at the collegiate level, you know, Mid-American Conference, EMU, you guys are using spray charts and all kinds of stuff that just wasn't available years ago. You can go back and look at some footage and maybe see video differently, see it more clearly. Have readily available access to it to make your life easier. So there definitely is value in that.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, even the general fan can go online and get just about every, you know, obviously not as advanced as what they have in the dugout, but, you know, things like FanGraphs and RotoWorld, every stat you can imagine on, you know, different players they face. You know, even myself, I've had some of my players ask, you know, who, you know, what'd you do against this guy? And I can go back and look up, you know, what pitches I threw him with, you know, and this is 4 or 5 years ago now. So I think that the amount of data is unbelievable. So that's a blessing and a curse sometimes. That's the way we kind of look at it from the college level. The pro level, there's a little bit more consistency with it because of the number of reps that they kind of compile the data with. Whereas college, you know, you got 56 game season, maybe a guy's there 3 or 4 years. So the reps are really limited. In college, they tend to grow a little bit more and change who they are as a player, whereas in professional baseball, guys kind of are who they are. So those numbers probably tend to stick a little bit more, and, you know, things like shifts and stuff like that are a little bit more true in college or in pro ball, but it's definitely made its way into college, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. I do think it'll come back a little bit to kind of the middle ground. Like I said, with the Nationals last year really helped with that, but it is a curse and a blessing for sure.
AJ Ochter joining us right now, former MLB-er, a Michigan State alum, and the current pitching coach at Eastern Michigan University for the Eagles. And AJ, how important was this for Clayton Kershaw? Because he was getting into that territory where, you know, him being, what, roughly 32 years old, he was getting to that point in his career to where it's like, okay, how many years do you have left? This Dodgers team's been special for a while now. They've done a great job in free agency acquiring that one more piece that they think is going to get him over the hump. They have a great regular season. They make it in the postseason, and they've kind of flamed out. His numbers in the postseason were I don't know if I'd say drastically different, but they were worse than what he was in the regular season from a pitching standpoint, and just, you know, pure statistics. But you look at him, and I was pulling for the Dodgers and for Clayton Kershaw because I didn't want him to be thrown around in the same regards as maybe we look at Barry Sanders or LaDainian Tomlinson or Carl Malone or Dan Marino, you know, guys that are all-time greats that didn't get a chance to win the big one. What was your feeling on Clayton Kershaw finally getting a ring?
Yeah, I think that was awesome. I think one of the coolest shots of the night was him running in from the bullpen. You could just kind of see the, you know, the joy and jubilation on his face, and almost, you know, I think back to like the Steve Young clip, right, when he won the Super Bowl, the monkey off the back thing. That's the first thing I thought of with Clayton. And, you know, talk about an A-plus human being and obviously a hell of a pitcher. So he's a guy who deserves it, and probably, you know, the brunt of a lot of scrutiny over the last couple of years, because of, you know, kind of the inability to win the big games. But, you know, even using Collette a few years ago against the Astros, you know, he won game one, pitched really well in game five. He threw okay, but, you know, that was going to be a stigma with him whenever anyone looked at him. And like you said, you know, if they didn't win one, that would kind of always be his label. But it's awesome to kind of see him get that one. Like I said, it's fun to watch a guy who's you know, been in it for so long, see the joy and, you know, playing a kid's game, but just see how much it meant to him. And even Dave Roberts after the game, you could read his lips when he was giving him a hug, said, you deserve this one. And he's about as deserving as it comes.
And AJ, Clayton Kershaw gets all the attention, right? I mean, that's who we're focusing on. There's a young guy on their staff by the name of Walker Buehler. And this guy was dealing in the postseason. I mean, he is something special. Now, our friend John Wagner told us, be careful with some of your numerical stats because they had more opportunities in this postseason run than you would normally get. You know, there were more teams, there's more games. If you go back in time, the 5-game to 7-game series and whatnot. But he was lights out, was this Walker Buehler. What do you think the advantage is for a guy that's, you know, only 26 years old to kind of be able to lurk in the shadows because of Clayton Kershaw and the star power that is Clayton? And, you know, Clayton's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer without question. So as a 26-year-old, you get the opportunity to kind of fly a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of the first things when you're kind of talking about him that I thought of is, you know, obviously Walker's an unbelievable talent, unbelievable arm, but, you know, just the, you know, for Clayton just to take a little pressure off him by the media, the LA media, or just to see the way Clayton goes about his business. You know, I was fortunate enough to, when I was with the Angels, we played the Dodgers a couple times a year, and, you know, just to see the way he worked, you know, in between starts and his bullpens on game days was unbelievable to see. So you talk about, you know, as a young guy, you know, I think Walker was a first rounder out of Vanderbilt, you know, see him coming in and say, okay, this is the guy, this is the standard, this is who I have to, you know, this is who I have to compete against, this is who I'm learning from. And I think that that's a huge part. And, you know, we talk about in college all the time, you know, kind of letting the veteran guys kind of lead the younger guys. And that's a perfect example of it. Obviously he's talented, but there's a lot of things that can go. We've seen plenty of guys who are talented who don't make it because they don't go about things the right way, or, you know, they kind of let things get to them, whether that be in the media or financially, stuff like that. So to learn from a guy like Clayton, I think is awesome. And, you know, Walker's not the only one on that staff. There's a lot of young guys that have thrown the ball really, really well. And, you know, I think that when you have guys like Kershaw and Kenley Jansen who in the pen who have been there and done it, it really takes a lot of pressure off those guys, not only, you know, in the media, stuff like that, but just seeing how they go about their business, which is a huge part of kind of understanding how to be a big leaguer, how to be a pro at that level. And obviously on the biggest stage in the world.
Look at this guy, spoken like a true coach, but out here trying to point fingers at the media. That's what's happening right now. I can see it. I knew it. I'm going after Kevin Cash. I'm going after the entire Tampa Bay's management. I'm going after the computers. Give me the hard drives. I'm going after all of it. They're going to be hunting me down. AJ Ochter joining us here on X's and Bros. And AJ, the Dodgers got off to a start. They swept the Brewers. The Brewers, I mean, it was an expanded playoffs, right? So things were going to be a little bit different. Maybe some teams that would have been weeded out throughout the 162-game regular season schedule would have an opportunity because, hey, 60 games, anything can happen. Why not us, right? But the Brewers, that was a, you know, piece of cake. But then they ran into the Slam Diego Padres, and that wasn't a problem either because they took them out in 3 games. But I was actually pulling for San Diego. That Fernando Tatis Jr., that guy is something. I think that the reason I root for him and I root for that team is because I think that they bother older people. You know, the sacred guardians of the game. You know, Tatis, he's got the hair going, a lot of chains out there. I don't know who the jeweler is of MLB, but that guy's got to be making a fortune. Guys are running the bases like 12 pounds worth of gold on their necks. Good God. But what do you make of Tatis and the, I don't know, maybe the fun that the Padres bring? I mean, they had the bats. They just didn't necessarily have the arms in order to make a legitimate run, probably something they'll address in the offseason. But for somebody like me who loves to see other people get irritated because somebody's out there having fun and flipping bats, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think it's great for the game. I think the, you know, obviously what comes with it is, I think you saw it in one of the games in the NLDS about, you know, when Machado got robbed. And, you know, that's the thing. If you're going to bat flip, you got to be okay with people, you know, throwing a glove, or which was a little excessive if you ask me, but, you know, you got to be okay with people doing it right back to you, because that's the kind of fun of it. I think it brings a unique and kind of a new energy to the game, you know, guys like that. And, you know, I always think about a guy like Mike Trout, who was my teammate for a year, who I think is the best player in the world, but who just goes about it, hits a home run, puts his head down, doesn't kind of get the buzz that even like Tatis does this year, you know, which is unbelievable just because the way he plays the game. Even, you know, some of my players are talking about Tatis. He's their favorite player, and, you know, he's about their age. So it just kind of shows you the energy and kind of the enthusiasm that he's bringing to the game. And I think it's here to stay, which is good. And I think that team's going to be fun to watch. Them and the Dodgers over the next couple of years is really going to be something to watch. That NL West will be a good division.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. On the AL side of things, because we've really focused on the World Series champs here, and they were the champs. We had the Tampa Bay Rays basically becoming kind of America's team by, you know, taking out the Astros, which was huge because I was getting nervous there. It was like sweaty palms time. I was like, don't let these cheaters get back out here and do this to us again. But you look at the Rays, a team that took out the Jays, a team that took out the Yankees, they took out the Astros. They have a bright future looking ahead of them, and you touched on this earlier. It was like the giant payroll of the Dodgers versus like the complete opposite. I hate to refer to it as Moneyball, but I don't know what else to really call this. This is like, you know, Daddy Warbucks over here and like, you know, a normal blue collar guy over here. And the Tampa Bay Rays were a fun story.
Yeah, I mean, they've always kind of hit on it. I think back to 08, you know, when Madden was there and they lose to the Phillies in the World Series, they've kind of always had that. No matter, several managers since, and it's just kind of their MO, and they've done a really good job in free agency, in trades, and kind of just hitting on young guys. You know, they're not afraid to walk away from guys if financially it's not a fit. But then, you know, like G-Man Choi, their first baseman, was a teammate of mine in Anaheim. He's kind of bounced around a little bit, but kind of found a home there. Rosarena obviously speaks for himself. You know, one of the best postseasons we've ever seen was essentially just a throw-in trade. You know, just guys like that. You know, Meadows is kind of a washed-up prospect, quote unquote, from the Yankees. You just talk about guys that they've just hit on and done well developing. And I think they kind of know what fits into their system. You know, we talked about kind of the over analytics stuff, but that's, they kind of know who they are, and they kind of not necessarily recruit to it, but they kind of sign guys in free agency and trade to kind of do it. And obviously they have pieces like Snell, who they drafted, Glass now, who they traded for, young guys who are kind of going to make an impact for a while. But I think it's pretty special what they've done with their payroll compared to, like you said, the Yankees, the Astros, even you know, the big mighty Dodgers on the West Coast. So pretty special thing, and I think they're here to stay too. The AL East obviously is always a beast with the Red Sox and the Yankees, but I think it's the Rays division for a couple of years.
He's AJ Oakter, Major League Baseball alum, Michigan State alum, and current pitching coach at Eastern Michigan University. AJ, my friend, as always, thank you so much for the time, you know, to hang out with us a little bit this morning, talk a little bit about the 2020 postseason and that World Series, man. Always a pleasure, always a lot of fun. Stay safe, stay healthy. Hope things, you get some clarity on what's going to happen next for your program and for the Mid-American Conference as a whole, and we'll touch base soon.
Thanks, AB. I appreciate it, man. Have a good one.